Have any of you ever given a party? You know what it's like. You come up with your guest list, and you send out your invitations, and you wait for the RSVPs to come back in. And then you look forward to the day when you actually have the party. And you wonder, well, there might be some who didn't RSVP, but they may actually arrive anyway. And then there are some who can't make it, don't come, you don't know, you hope they're all right, you're sorry they're not there, but what are you going to do? Go to their house and force them to come? No, you can't do that. So you don't know. Well, I want you to think about the steps of having a party, and I'm going to tie that back to the gospel lesson this morning. So the steps are, okay, you decide to have a party, so you issue the invitation, right? And let's say you're the one receiving it. So you receive the invitation, you have to decide if you're going to go or not, then you RSVP, then you actually go to the party, you enjoy the party, and while you're there, you might wonder, well, who's not here? Who else was invited? And then you might think about those who didn't want to come on purpose. As a matter of fact, you might think of this as, let's say you have a child that is getting married, or maybe you're getting married yourself, and you send out wedding invitations. And some of your neighbors on your street respond that they will come. They want to come. They're looking forward to it. Then other neighbors negatively respond. They don't want to come. They can't come. They don't want to be bothered. There's a Panther home game that day, and you know, gee, they just can't make it over to your wedding party. But what about that one neighbor down the street you've just never gotten along with, and you don't know why? I mean, you and she or him, you've just never gotten along. And out of spite, they decide to have a counterparty to your party on the same day. How would that make you feel? Right? You see posted on Facebook or something that not only on your day of days, but they're going to have a party, and they've taken your color scheme and your music, and they've twisted it a little bit. They've added things to it that degrade it and make it look worse. And this is purely, purely out of spite, because you know them. You don't know why you don't get along necessarily, but you know they're doing this on purpose. How would that make you feel? How do you think it makes God feel? So in today's gospel lesson, from the Gospel of Mark, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me," stop. "Whoever desires to come after me," that is our invitation to the party. Who wants to come after me? Come after him where? Are we playing a game of chase? No. We're coming after him into the kingdom of God. Whoever wants to come after me. So Christ has just issued an invitation. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. This is that moment in the kitchen when you've opened the envelope and you've gotten the invitation and you're immediately deciding, am I going to go or not? This is the moment of decision. This is whether we decide, are we going to choose a life of self-denial in Christ or self-indulgence? That's really our choice in this world. As Father Seraphim elaborated in the epistle reading, we are taught to control our passions, not to give in to them. The church has a prescription for self-denial. It's fairly simple. Attend the church services. Fast, give stewardship. It's that simple. Or you could choose self-indulgence as the world offers, and you could say, supersize that for me, please. Right? Right? These are our two choices, essentially. Self-denial or self-indulgence. Which path will you take? So whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. This is where we issue our RSVP to God. This is where we show him that we want to come into the kingdom. So what is lifting up our cross? What is taking up our cross? I'm going to give you a big news flash. You know what the cross is for each of us? Other people. The cross is other people. There's no other way around it. For blessings and the burdens that they present us, the ones we get along with, and especially the ones we don't get along with, that is our cross. What did Jesus Christ do? Where is he? He is lifted up on that cross. Did he do that for himself? Did he need to be crucified? No. We needed him to be crucified. He gave Himself up on that cross for you and for me. So if we are going to accept His invitation and follow Him into the kingdom, what do we have to do? What is our RSVP? Is to give ourselves up for other people. Now, that's fun to talk about. It's easy to say. Sometimes it's really hard to do. And it starts in the home with your husband or your wife. And it starts with your children. And it goes out from there to your extended family and your neighbors and to those at work and at school and at church and in traffic and the people you don't know at the mall who cut you off and take your parking spot, right? May we all grow to that point of maturity. When someone does that, we can say, may God bless you. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to be humble. I'm not there yet. But I know it's there. I know that's the goal. But as Christ gave Himself up for us, we are to give ourselves up for others. That's one reason the Christian message is not so... I mean, it's got some meat. It's got some toughness to it. It's got a little bit of hair on it. This is hard sometimes. We continue. So whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Again, follow me where? Into the kingdom. This world is not the end. This world is just a foretaste of what we might share. The joy that you may receive in moments during the liturgy, especially right before or after receiving Holy Communion, that joy is the joy of the kingdom. You are getting a taste of it. But we only taste it partially now. In the kingdom, we will taste it fully, and it will only grow and grow. And that may sound like so much nonsense to you. Well, maybe it is. And as St. Paul said, we are the worst of all to be pitied then. But we believe and trust that there is more waiting for us in the kingdom of heaven. So, we've received the invitation. We've thought about it. We've decided we'll embark on self-denial as much as we can, slowly, slowly growing in it. We've sent our RSVP back. We've said, I will accept this cross of bearing with other people, and I will follow Christ, hopefully into the kingdom. So we are looking forward to going into the party. We are like those neighbors who said, yes, we'll come, and we come, and we try. But what about those who don't come? Well, the text speaks to that. For whoever would save his life, this is essentially refusing the offer to come into the kingdom. This is essentially saying, you know what? A bird in the hand is worth two in the bushes. I like my life, thank you. Maybe I'm very successful. Maybe I'm rich. Maybe I'm powerful. Maybe I'm extremely handsome or attractive. Maybe I like my life. Maybe I want to enjoy myself right here, right now, just the way I've been doing all of my life. I'm not going to give this up. I'm not going to limit it for some pie-in-the-sky dream you guys tell me about that may or may not come. I think some people think that. They actually work through this rubric. I cannot prove you wrong. I can say based on my experience and the experience of others that I trust, I think you're wrong, I believe you're wrong, but God gives you the free will to make that decision. But this world, this life, is like first grade. It's like recess at first grade. And the kingdom of heaven is going to be like a wedding party. I mean, we've got something for children, or we've got something for adults. How many of you can even remember first grade, much less a recess here or there? But a wedding party for adults with feasting and dancing and drink and music, oh, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic. That's what it's like if we're patient and if we wait. Whoever desires to save his life, that is, not go to the kingdom, they prefer this life instead, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And this is where we run into the counterparty. For the people who out of spite oppose Christ. For whoever is ashamed of me. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this, and these are pretty hard words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his fathers with the holy angels. Wow. In this adulterous and sinful generation. Our God is a good and compassionate and loving God, and he doesn't often issue these sort of condemnations. But these are the people down the street who have a counterparty on the same day. They try to convince people, don't go to that wedding party, come to our wedding party. They are totally opposed to the message of God and Christ and God's church. The church teaches self-control. The world exalts flamboyance. The church teaches modesty and humility. The world exalts extravagance. See me. Look at what I've done so that you will look at me. You ever think about that when you look at the paper or on the internet? Why would someone dress like that? Is their soul so empty? Is their ego in such need of stroking that they will do anything in order to get a little attention? And on one hand, I feel sorry for them because I think it just drives them to further and further acts of degradation in order to receive some attention. And we're all there to give each other fellowship, but in healthy, true, and pure ways, not in any way we can get. The world encourages that sort of thing, and it only destroys the soul. Some of them, however, are well aware of this, and they still refuse. They worship themselves. Their altar is a mirror, and they see themselves in it, and that's what they worship, to their own destruction. What can you do? So, your decision. Which choice will you make? Will you be patient and humble, seeking self-control, trusting in the kingdom of God to come and the blessings that God has in store for you here and now? Or will you say, I'm going to grab everything I can get right now, not going to worry about what's behind door number 3, and I'm just going to take it now? The choice is up to you. The church and Christ are here to testify that self-control and modesty and patience are the way to go, are the way to the kingdom. But ultimately, that choice is up to you. So pray and think about it. Amen.